The Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be with you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. And I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit, the Advocate who comes to live within each one of us and within this faith-filled congregation. Amen. If you love me, this almost sounds like a text for Valentine's Day. I can see folks in the pew grabbing that pencil and scrolling little hearts and flowers all around it. Just glance at it quickly and see how many times the word love or loved is in it. It's a love song. If you love me, follow my commandments. I'd like to tell you about another love song that isn't divine. It's very human. How many here remember Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. I think they sang one verse several times. They may have tucked in a second verse. Actually, they didn't come up with this or the tune. If you go to WikiLeaks, if you go to the Wikipedia, you discover that the words in the text go back as far as 1670 in England. What were you doing in 1670? I wasn't doing much then, really. And the first verse is just a question, are you going? And then, oh, if you're going, I had someone that I used to love there. Now, there are at least six more verses. The three after the first one are by the man. And he says, "If you can make me a shirt without a seam and without any needlework, then you will be a true lover of mine." See how mine rhymes with time? Cute. I'm not going to repeat it. And I'm not going to sing it. I'm not a singer. That's the first verse that he sings. Then he sings, "And you should wash it in that well over there." The well, by the way, has never had any rain in it, and there's no spring nearby. So it's a dry well. "And then if you can do that, you'll be a true lover of mine." The third verse that he sings, "And then I want you to take the shirt." Now be aware that this is a shirt washed in a dry well. "And dry it on that thorn bush over there that has never had a blossom." So these are three impossible tasks. I suspect these used to be lovers. And since they didn't have marriage counseling in those days, they sang songs. Now, what does the woman do to respond to this? Well, she says, I want you to plow an acre of land between the sea salt and the sea sand. Now think a minute, how much land is there you can plant between the sea salt and the sea sand? Another impossible task. You should plow it with a ram's horn, a whole acre with the ram's horn. How long would that take? And you're to seed it all over with one peppercorn. So you take this peppercorn and grind it up and seed an entire acre. That's her second verse. Then she sings, when it's time to harvest the grain, I want you to use a sickle, you know what a sickle is, probably a wooden handle and a metal half circle. I want you to do it with a sickle made of leather. Huh? How easy would that be? And when it's time to thrash it, I want you to thrash it against the wall. Not on the floor, but against the wall. And when you're finished, I want you to tie it all up with a peacock feather. How common are peacock feathers out in grain fields? Probably not very. And then at the end of her three verses, she sings, and when you are finished with these three tasks, I'll give you your shirt. So here is the secular world looking at love in a rather silly way. This couple is not going to get back together because they don't want to. How clear is that? We often hear things in folk literature about three wishes or three tasks that someone has to do to win the hand of the princess or any young eligible woman. And then that's the story, the adventure of doing these tasks. Well, that's what our scripture is about. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. You will do what I have taught you. And what have I taught you? Not to do silly things with silly songs, but to serve one another, to care for one another, to do all the things way beyond what the promises are made on Valentine's Day. We can get carried away with Valentine's Day and make promises, not that are impossible, but maybe really difficult to keep. But why do we make them? Because we're going to make the effort. We're going to try. Think of the promises that your family made when you were baptized as an infant, or the promises you made when you were baptized as a child or an adult. You know you're not going to live up to them 101%, but they're there before you, and you are going to do your very best to keep Jesus' commandment. How does Jesus know that we're even going to try? How does God know? After all, isn't God the one who destroyed everyone except the eight on that boat that Noah had, the ark in Genesis? Because God came and lived among us. God wasn't far off in some place, in a cave, in a mountain, or across a wide river, but here, within each of us, so that we can respond in ways to make Jesus smile, to make Jesus happy. A few years back, there was a little thing going around about what would Jesus do, and everybody was WWJD, which I thought was kind of curious, because none of us is going to be raised from the dead like Jesus was to go back and live among his disciples for a few days before he ascended into heaven. We can't do that, but we can hold Jesus close in our heart, see Jesus in every face we see. This is when I become very aware that I've been talking and there are folks whose faces I'm not seeing. And I feel kind of funny about that, but I didn't want to chase you down to the pews. It's kind of good having some folks up here, right? Yeah. Jesus never stops loving us. We can depend on that, and we can depend on Christ to send us that Spirit to live within. When I was a youngster, somebody asked me how far away was God, how far away was Jesus. And we were, you know, kids just talking, and I did this really silly thing. I'm going to recommend it to you. I licked my finger, and I held it up. We were inside. It wasn't windy. But you could feel the moisture evaporating. I didn't have a term for that, but I knew it would. I said, that's the Holy Spirit blowing on my finger, drying my finger. Why don't you try it? Now, this would probably work, except on a rainy day when the humidity is really high. I was just lucky that day that it wasn't raining. But as a youngster, I felt that Jesus was, in fact, very close. And I could talk to Jesus. I could sing to him in my horrible voice, which I did when nobody else was around. But I see in this congregation all the things, all the activities, the ways as a congregation that you have of serving each other in this community and in the international community as well. I thank you for that good work. And I can thank you because I had nothing to do with it. I didn't help set it up. I didn't help plan it. But I know you did. And I know you care about those projects that you do. The ones where maybe you'll never see a smile from that child's face or a thank you from that mother that receives a new well in her village so she doesn't have to walk the 20 miles to the nearest spring every day to get water. You know those things are happening all over the world, and they're all good, and they're all because Christians like the folks here care. Now see, I can't do that at my home church. I can't thank them because I'm part of that, but I'm not part of that here in the way that your own pastor is. So I want to lift all of you up in thanks to our gracious God. In Jesus' name, amen.